corporate candy floss news and no political spin. This is Truth Radio by Internet. Thanks to our sponsor, Neemwell.com, because here, the expression is still free. We all know that psychopaths are in power, but how do they get to power? We'll be taking a look at the psychology and at the current state of moves towards the North American Union with our forum member, Ormond. You're on the next level.
Would you do me a favor and push me on to the next level?
And you're very welcome. You're on the next level on breakfornews.com, and this is Fintan Dunn reporting. Thank you for joining us. Thanks also to our sponsor, Neemwell.com, your personal source for potent Indian neem. Check that out. It's Neemwell.com, and you can find out all about Indian neem. It's the most popular herb in India and probably one of the most popular herbs in the world. And Kathy McMahon of Neemwell.com formulates it in a hypoallergenic and totally natural cocoa butter base. Get all the details at neemwell.com. And it's great to be back on air. Very busy last couple of weeks. It's been 2 weeks, or just about 2 weeks, since the last audio. And it's also great to be doing this because I'll be speaking today with our forum member, Ormond, who's a long-standing member of the forum and has done some terrific posts. He'll be joining us from Texas to discuss a very important topic. It's the issue of psychopaths and how and why they act as they do and the mechanisms by which they get into political power. Now, Ormond started this as a topic thread, and you can get links to all of that by clicking on the photo that goes with this audio on the homepage, or you'll find the detail in the forum post that goes with this audio. But it was also posted by Helio One back in February of 2006, and I'll just read you what he said about a book that we'll be taking a look at. It's by Andrew Lobachevsky, and it's called Political Ponerology, a science on the nature of evil adjusted for political purposes. That's quite a convoluted title, but it's a very simple process, as Helio said in his original post back in 2006. I'm quoting now from Helio's post. This research was conducted in Europe and centres on how pathological people may infect large numbers of people through very subtle social processes. These psychopaths or pathological people lack the normal empathy with normal people to form meaningful social bonds, and they end up seeking out and establishing common cause with other morally and socially deficient people with whom they do share close bonds, the bonds of power. And we'll be taking a look at the whole psychology of that. We'll also be taking a look at how that then has effects at a political level and what we see with the moves towards global systems like the developing EU superstate and the plans in the USA to move towards a North American Union. And playing into that is the issue of how some in the United States may actually be beginning to wake up and to move beyond their existing political allegiances. We'll be looking at how some in the middle class are beginning to wake up to the fact that the middle class is likely to become an extinct species under this new world order. But that's enough introduction. Let's go straight to the line where Ormond from the forum is joining us from the belly of the beast in Texas. Ormond, you are very welcome to the next level, and thanks for joining us, and thanks for all your forum posts that you've posted during your time here. Some great insights there. You're very welcome to the next level.
Yes, thanks, Fintan. Thanks for having me on.
Maybe you just first off give us a summary of how you see the situation at the moment in relation to the NAU. Have the middle class woken up to this yet? What's your impression from there in Texas as to how people are aware of this and if they can be motivated to do anything about it?
2 years ago, the middle class in Houston, Texas were favorable toward it for two reasons. One was because they still supported and believed in George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was because they were getting cheap labor for doing their lawn work.
Have they changed then, in their opinion, in recent times?
Yes, they have, because a number of factors that have made the middle class begin to be suspicious and uncomfortable. They no longer trust Bush because he's sort of hung them out to dry on things that they wanted to see happen. This year, in my own circle of friends, and I,
Which is a very good idea. It gives you a broad perspective on things, yeah.
I think everybody should. We're all Americans.
Right, yeah. So. And what did you pick up? What is your feedback from such a broad range of people?
Yes, what's happening now is that the reports are beginning to come in from all of these soldiers that middle-class people that I know all encouraged their graduating college sons to go to military academy and to pursue careers and to be patriots, thinking that they would be safe because and at this level, they generally they have been told that if they go to the go to an academy or they apply for this particular type of job, they know that they have a certain amount of control over what kind of duty that they would have in Iraq by virtue of their status and education.
Yes, yes.
This is what the military recruiters told them. Also through the churches, I won't say which denominations, but had promoted this as being the fine and noble patriotic thing to do. So the young men who are fine, upstanding young men, were, I wouldn't say pressured, they were encouraged, and mm-hmm. they just thought it was the right thing to do. They've been raised this way. Well, they're starting to get killed. I mean, reports are starting to come in on casualties with people I know. And this is something that was slow in coming. It was also slowing. I remember when the Vietnam War got going, people forget they didn't live during the period, and I was still in elementary school during the 60s and I think about 12 years old during the Tet Offensive. We had soldiers in Vietnam for a few years before the casualties picked up and before the American public even knew that it was a war. It was the famous Tet Offensive when the Viet Cong and the Vietnamese regulars just absolutely threw everything at American forces and just, you know, basically kicked their ass and started heavy casualties. And from then on, casualty figures went up to around 200 U.S. soldiers dead every week.
Yeah. Well, certainly in Iraq, by comparison, the casualty figures of late in Iraq in the last 6 months have been the most intense yet experienced by U.S. forces. So they're being made aware now that we are losing young men, mostly. And that's changed the perspective of people on the ground and changed their sentiment towards Bush, which is affecting their loyalty to issues such as the North American Union. But you'd imagine that because of the fact that they feel they might be able to benefit economically, that pragmatically speaking, they'd still roughly support it, despite being disillusioned with Bush.
One thing that's making them uncomfortable is they've heard of a plan to change our currency to the Amero. And this is a dead giveaway. This changes the whole picture.
Right.
When they're hearing, and their financial advisors also are hearing that that we're going to change to a three-nation currency, starting with, you know, with the Amero, mm-hmm. that raises an eyebrow.
Yeah, okay. It's not going to take them long to start to connect the dots and realize this is what happened in Europe with the EU. And so that was the root of my suspicion that they will pull the plug on the economy deliberately in order to create a situation where they can then turn around and say, well, look, we've no choice but to go with this Amero thing because George Bush has screwed the economy. Of course, it won't have been Bush. It would be them. Yeah.
Yes, the European Union actually began with the common market. I think something else before that, what they called it. It seems that the progress of North American Union, which is designed to be implemented at a much quicker rate than the European Union, is right now in the common market phase, or the equivalent of the common market of Europe.
Yeah. Do you think that it's possible to generate any momentum against the North American Union as a result of the current situation? And can I also ask you, how are the Republicans in general reacting to the current situation?
My perception of that is that what I'm actually seeing, and this is a little bit unexpected, and then again hoped for, that Republicans are actually not staying Republicans now. People are becoming, people are dropping their party affiliations. And what I'm hearing now more of is that one friend in particular who was incorrigible 3 years ago and has been a party member and an active Republican Party member since the 1980s with Reagan told me just 2 weeks ago that he is not
Yeah, yeah. Well, assuming these people are pretty clever, which we know they are, then I think they've been on to the fact that they couldn't sustain in the modern communications internet era that hardcore Rush Limbaugh maniacal support base, which they have enjoyed. And this is why we're seeing the great big move over to the savior Hillary on the left, and they're switching their allegiance to the left, sort of like was done in Great Britain when Tony Blair came in. This will be a so-called left liberal corporate fascist move.
Republicans will not switch their allegiance to the left so easily, and the reason for that is because the way it is, and the ones that I know are actually quite savvy and intelligent people, I think that they were drawn in 20, 25 years ago into the American dream that Ronald Reagan presented.
Mm-hmm.
In the first part of his presidency, and basically they realize now after all of this time, for a number of years, of course, you know, when you invest yourself heavily into a political party, and then they had the intervention of the Clinton 8 years, which was a chance for the Republicans to for the Rush Limbaughs to come on and keep them riled up, and they had the Democrats to blame. The perception is this, especially from this close friend of mine who's been through all this, is that they know that somebody has been screwing up the United States for decades.
Mm-hmm.
They just thought that it was the Democrats, and now they realize that it's both parties.
Right. Well, even if they can succeed in keeping them away from the polls, that might be an achievement in itself, and that would also explain why they're courting the black vote for the Democrats. I see New Orleans as being a big propaganda move to try and get black votes on board, continue with Obama. They're looking for numbers in order to get Hillary in. So if the Republicans stay at home, then that's okay. They won't mind that.
That's the old game. That's the same old trick, and they've used that for 30 years with the formerly things like the Southern Strategy and so on. Mm-hmm. Yes, they will get the black voters, and they will probably get the Mexican, naturalized Mexican voters.
The question I come back to then is in relation to the North American Union, is that if this is on the cards, and by the way, I'm all in favor of an internationalized trading system, just a fair one, you know, but if that is essentially what they're at, the game that they're playing, it's important for us to realize the consequences of that. For the average person, is that the modern technological society, which is emerging right now, will contain a core group of network controllers, whom these people aim to be. They will be the ones pulling all the strings. They will be the ones making all the money. Everybody else in the economy is going to be on the same wage rate as that Mexican guy who cleans out the toilets down at Burger King. And that's us.
That's right.
That's what they're at. Make no mistake about it. They're not doing this out of charity.
Disenfranchisement, yes.
Yeah.
And the middle class, financially secure middle class, is also going to be affected by this. And this is another factor, is that I know a financial advisor personally who, I don't have the money to use his services, but he sends me his regular newsletter, and I've spoken with him, and this way I keep informed and keep my finger to the pulse of what local financial analysts are thinking and interpreting this. And they know the Fed Reserve Board has been acting very strange for the last year or so by shutting off their access to M3 figures, formerly M2 and M3 money supply figures that were formerly available for financial institutions and advisors and professionals. And the Fed said, well, we're going to close that to the public now. What that means is behind that screen, they can print as much money as they want. They can do all kinds of manipulations to keep the economy propped up artificially. And also, this year, everyone knows, all the investors have been told by their advisors to expect a 10% downward adjustment in dollar value in 2007. So this has been underway, attributed to the bursting of the housing bubble,
Yes.
real estate bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Housing starts are down 8% in Houston, Texas. Housing starts have always been the primary indicator of in the Texas economy of a upward economy or heading into a recession.
Yeah.
The signs are clear that money is not going to be as easy to make, even for the people who have done well with these increasingly elaborate schemes for hedge funds and investment and all that, are now experiencing a tightening of the belt, as LBJ called it in the 60s.
Yeah. We've also seen then some very clever macroeconomics associated with that. More ripoff. One of them has been an undeclared de facto international oil tax, which they have levied against the world population in order to line their pockets and partly fund the Iraq war. It's called peak oil, it's called global warming, it's called get them to a state where they don't mind paying a lot for gas.
Former Republicans are well aware of what Gore and Hillary Clinton have in mind. They know about global warming also, by the way, these Republicans. I mean, like, they're astute. They have their ear to the ground with that. They know that Gore is speaking out of both sides of his mouth. This is why the Bush administration had a stand against any legislation to do with global warming previously. And you'll notice that once the Democrats were elected and his time is on the way out, then he's changed his position. This is one of the reasons that this is yet another reason that Republicans realize that, you know, wait a minute, you know, this guy is, you know, he's
he's selling them out is what he's doing. He's easing them into trying to ease them into a position that they would have naturally opposed. So it's like psychological warfare.
They're completely aware of this because it's so blatant.
Okay.
He did this complete about face. As soon as Pelosi's elected, he's no longer playing the angry, jihadist or holy war guy. You know, now he's obviously he's a good actor, and he can turn his emotions on any which way he wants. And it's now transparent.
Yeah.
But these are the main intellectual keys of understanding is these people are hard rationalists, and they're getting inputs into their rational data now, their financial data, and so on, and a lot of things that are, you know, that show up that they've been conned. Republicans are hard-headed rationalists, so the inputs are now coming in to their financial data that are showing up that they've been conned by both parties. And mm-hmm. Now they see that the leadership of the Republican Party is handing things over to the Democrats that they didn't expect. In terms of global warming, they're quite aware from reading the financial trade information that Al Gore has created, basically, with Maurice Strong of Canada, carbon credit futures, which is a new commodity based on which completely rides on global warming. So he set himself up with a general investment management LLP,
right,
independent private sector, and is already making millions of dollars from this.
And it looks like they are in a position to do whatever they want with the economy, that you'll get an intersection of the collapse of the housing bubble, a change in the international value of the dollar as a result of some shift into some countries buying in euros, and then also a change in policy by the Chinese in relation to dollar holdings, and perhaps a revaluation of the Chinese-US exchange rate. All of that will be sold as a hysteria, as a financial meltdown. Now, really, it won't be. It'll just be these guys playing around with things which they can well afford to do. They can engineer financially this stuff, and it doesn't really cost them that much money to do it. But it'll be sold at home as if it's Armageddon, financially. And
yes, middle-class investors do understand that it's engineered, and to a certain extent they expect that to be, and are okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that now that the data of how globalism works and how it's encroaching is coming in as data in their financial sheets. For instance, it's not a great leap of the imagination at this point in time to interpret a controlled 10% devaluation of the dollar adjustment in 2007 as putting two and two together when you hear about the Enero and realize, three economies to par for this scenario. And this is the same thing that happened with the common market.
Yeah.
From the European Union and Europe.
Okay, well, I think
it means American investors can expect to lose money, and American the American public in general is going to have money that's not stagflationary for a while.
Yes, stagflation seems to be on the cards. Okay, we can see the agenda, we can see the result, which will be an us-and-them society where the us is the ones who don't have any money. The next question is, what can we do about it? Ormond, how do you think we can effectively resist that? What strategic moves can be made to mobilize in order to maximize the opposition to this agenda? Big question.
Well, that's the $64,000.
Okay.
We have this wonderful opportunity that we've waited for this, and here it is that we now have what I perceive as a large segment of the middle class dropping the illusion of faith and bouncing back and forth between one political party and another.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a state of astonishment at the moment, and they're going through a bit of being stunned and not in the phase of sort of like a lot of us were after 9/11. Just mm-hmm. waking up to this and not really knowing what to do about it.
Right.
So the thing to do is to help anyone that one knows to get mad.
And to get their
call these guys on their game. You know, tell them that, oh, well, we see what you're up to and you can't do it. There's some of this has actually been going on in Texas. We are being inundated with crazy bills of legislation, and for example, one of these broke precedent by being with Governor Perry as being a gubernatorial mandate for something that could not pass legislation with in the state of Texas, which was a mandatory vaccination for pubescent girls in public schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't even get into that here, but
we've heard
legal and legislative side of this was it raised a lot of eyebrows and got quite a bit of flack because he was basically doing what George Bush has done with executive orders. Only the legality of what Perry was doing was completely unconstitutional under Texas law, and I don't think he's getting away with that particular one.
Yeah,
but they have been a loss for them. That was all heavily funded, and they made no secret of this. Heavily funded by Merck, by the Merck Pharmaceutical Corporation, who's also been lobbying and funding this with millions and millions of dollars in every state in the union.
You know, there's a few groups who are doing well out of the current situation. I mentioned one clever thing they'd done macroeconomically: peak oil. What they also did was they have been using destruction rebuild economic theory, and that's why you've had the destruction of Iraq accompanied with massive building contracts for the U.S. bases over there. That's why you've had the same kind of handouts in relation to New Orleans. So, they've shifted, basically ripped everybody off and created a whole new rebuild, securocracy, destroy momentum. And they're making some nice money on the side there, too. But it's also interesting to me.
This is what's conspicuous, and it's taken people, it's taken the middle class a while to really see what is up with that. Is it a destruction type of economy where you're shipping your real economy and your industries overseas for years, and then this this policy of going in and slash and burn, and then having one monopoly go in and rebuild everything.
Yeah.
Putting two and two together, it all adds up to they're upgrading their system. They're changing us over to a completely new society and new social system, including the real estate.
Yeah. It's also interesting that we're discussing here Republicans, not the hysterical ones, but the ones who can look after their own self-interest and mutual interest. There seems to me there's a need for an emergence of a broadly centrist group, which would include people of a liberal disposition and also people of a constitutional, republican, free market, real free market, non-monopolistic tradition. There is some hope that you could build something around that.
There is hope for this, because there are well, I'm referring to the intelligent middle class of the Democrats persuasion, who's being Democrats doesn't necessarily conflict with Republicans. See, they're basically living the same lifestyle at that level. They have families, they have nice homes, they have nice incomes, and they want to preserve that. They have more in common than not.
Yes.
And they are beginning to, over the last couple of years, have been finding it more easy to sit down at gatherings and events and talk to each other. And this is something that was always true as long as I can remember when I was growing up in the United States, except over in Vietnam, that the average citizens could be in different parties and not be at each other's throats. So we're seeing a temporary window that people are realizing that they do have quite a bit in common, and they don't trust the government's next moves.
Yeah.
So it's a question of how many people will be fooled into thinking that the new Democrat regime is going to actually be any different in substance than what we've had.
Yeah, well, I think the momentum driving that will ease the further we move from the traumatic times of the last few years. So there isn't the same political heat in things. And I'm sure they're going to remain quite volatile and changeable. And perhaps that is a prerequisite for the emergence of a new political ideology. Not necessarily a new party, but a whole new way of thinking at an intelligent middle class stroke professional stroke university level. And with Ormond from the Forum on issues of the New World Order and the mind of the New World Order, we'll be going inside the mind of the New World Order in this next part. But take a break for music first, and we'll be right back. Very welcome back here on The Next Level on breakfornews.com, and we're continuing our discussion. We're going to take a look at some of the psychology of the system and the individuals behind it. And you did another post in the forum. Maybe just clue us in there. It was on some extraordinarily interesting work on the psychology of individuals and on the psychopathological psychology in particular.
Yes, it's beginning to look like to all this. It really does boil down to the mind and the collective mind in general, not just in the United States, but globally.
Mm-hmm.
We have manifest too many symptoms of, when we've been looking at politics for the last 20 or 30 years, invariably we're talking in terms of psychology and mental manipulation and perception and all this, instead of, you know, just the nuts and bolts of the politics that we thought we had 40 years ago, say, with an adult society.
Mm-hmm.
Part of this has been, I think, that somehow it moved into the direction of government, which was perceived in the United States as an exchange between adults after World War II, somehow became perceived as a paternal-child relationship between a maternal government to the public, or basically children.
Yes. But Lobachewski, who has produced this analysis of what he calls political ponerology, says that this is because a certain psychopathic type of individual has moved into command positions within the society and slowly has developed a cohort of apparatchiks who support their position, and that the rest of us end up being effectively neutered by the anything from 5 to 15% of the population that this psychopathological structure controls, and they rule over us. It's an extraordinary social and personal psychological analysis, isn't it?
It's quite fitting that this research and this idea, which seems to be very well developed, more well researched and developed than anything we've seen in the West so far, originates out of Eastern Europe, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, of course, this guy had personal experience of it in terms of the communist Polish regime. And he saw it happening. He saw people becoming part of the regime. He saw the ones who fell away and why they did. And he's produced a tremendous analysis of this psychopathological individual who is extremely superficial. He says we live in a camouflage society in which there are traits now that are actually more psychopathological than, say, the society of the past. Certainly the integrated agricultural societies that weren't based on conquest. But America's always been based on conquest, dude, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't it psychopaths who showed up there?
That's right. The corporate system in particular, which has replaced the local neighborhood mom and pop, and even the rugged individualist perception of the self-made businessman, the Horatio Alger model that was part of the industrial age in the United States, has also been completely overtaken by this corporate sociopathic mentality of a pack.
Yeah, the traits are described as egocentricity. These are cultural traits, quite popular these days in the sort of hero figures on TV. Lack of concern for others, superficiality, style over substance, being cool, manipulativeness and so forth. Yeah, just even watch the sitcoms on TV too, and it's all about this kind of stuff. This is camouflage society, as he says.
Yes, it is. And the veil on this may be lifting. 2007 appears to be a pretty interesting in-between year before things really get rolling, but the idea of a camouflage society hits home when you think of how many symptoms of just little cues that we see out in public every day of somebody glancing with covetousness, let's say, something or someone, or even with people that we know, and we make excuses for sociopaths that we deal with in business just because they fit the model of being successful. Or they live what the outwardly is life that is acceptable and socially acceptable,
mm-hmm.
and as long as they fit that mold, we out things that they don't understand. If it doesn't compute, there's a natural tendency to just sort of ignore it. So, you know, there's deep psychology working with this, and think tanks that work for corporations. Corporations employ public relations think tanks. They have worked out sciences. They have armies of their own sociopathic, you know, psychologists and psychiatrists and people that crunch all this information. And actually, you know, at government expense, have run extensive experiments and studies with people to hone all this information down so that they can use it for control.
Yeah. Well, there's another aspect to it as well, which will fit with the issues of conspiracy. And the kind of conspiracy that I believe is the conspiracy. It's not some, although there are, of course, a small group of guys in a room who conspire to screw us all, and they're called the G8. But there is this much broader conspiracy. Lobachevsky's work shows that it's possible for a global conspiracy to exist, because these individuals, these psychopathic, amoral individuals, recognize each other from an early age. They know each other, and they regard themselves as a group, and the rest of us follow a moral path, or are at least troubled by not following a moral path. And that's just the way it is.
Well, many of them are cousins, but they're also, it's a small world at the top, you know.
Yep.
And the old boy network, as they once called it, and of course networks of universities that in the United States, separation is easily handled through economic financial status. In other words, you can't afford to go to Harvard; you have to be invited to come in.
Right. And then there's a phenomenon that Lobachevsky has identified, where over a period of time of social development in this model, especially where there's a lot of preoccupation with the self and accumulating benefits, and people's perceptions actually dim so they can't see as clearly, that you get secondary psychopathic behavior. Everybody else has to start to adapt to these bastards running things. And there's a whole different kind of psychology now starts to pervade the entire culture, and we're well into that at this stage of the game.
That was especially in terms of social engineering. Everybody's heard of Pavlov, but Pavlov was doing work along these lines for these pathocrats, in terms of learning how to create Soviet and corporate system, because they're similar, that through stick-and-carrot techniques, would take normal people and force them to acquire the ability to mimic or imitate and behave in the expected politically correct sociopathic manner. Mm-hmm. Which a normal person can sustain this when they do it situational intermittent, and usually a great energy, emotional energy expenditure also, even though they may try to cover it.
Yeah, and
the sociopath never loses any sleep over, you know, they can order bombings and kill, you know, hundreds of thousands of people and go to bed cheerful about it.
Yeah.
Because of what they're going to gain. People who are following orders in a hierarchy chain of command are acting in what they think is their best interest and the best interest of their families for their own survival, more or less. And they respond to threat. And so they find that advancement into the path through the pathocratic system, especially beginning at when people begin to advance to a lower and middle management level, that they will be tested ethically, and usually the passage to advancement will be betraying somebody in some way, somebody they don't know or somebody they do know personally.
Yes, a rite of passage to enter the pathocracy. So they're trying to recruit people into becoming effective psychopaths. But something that Lobachevsky points out is that there is a lack of frontal lobe activity in these individuals, the true psychopaths or pathocrats. And that frontal lobe at the front of the brain there is diminished in function, sometimes genetically. He says this trait is actually quite typical of the Eastern European set, who have this lack of this activity, and that produces a greater reliance on the instinctive core autonomic reptilian and early brain section, which is totally amoral. No wonder they couldn't care less.
Exactly. And the autonomic organs of the brain, that in layman's terms called the reptile brain, is a number of organs essentially they secrete adrenaline, they secrete chemicals that, and also they transmit electrical charges through neural pathways and through the nervous system. To such as the pineal gland is part of this, where adrenaline and stimulants. They've discovered within the last 10 years that a host of such chemicals that are extremely powerful. The receptors for triggering these organs is entirely automatic and hardwired into the human brain. It acts through the autonomic system. It reacts to stimuli automatically and without judgment, instantly. It's as if you look up and a baseball is hurling at your face at 60 miles an hour, this is the part of the brain that makes you get out of the way. The cortex is going to start thinking about it a few milliseconds after you've been hit in the face.
Yeah. You know what it comes to mind when we talk about that function and its nature is two movies. One is Terminator.
Yeah.
Because Terminator is like that is just absolutely relentless and remorseless.
That's right. That's exactly right. And here's a way that people can try to imagine this, because I know that a lot of people are probably not grasping how this works. You know, how do people function without using their cortex? Well, what if your interactions with other human beings wasn't something that you had to think about or consider ethical considerations or things like that? What if your interactions with people relied very little on your cortex and was mainly operating at the level of insect reaction? In other words, you're watching this person and you're responding to their fear or their need or their flattery, and you're reading them at this emotional level that you couldn't care less about them to you. They're an object to be interpreted and defeated.
Yeah, Predator is the other movie that it brings to mind. Because also Predator has a vision that is not normal vision.
Brain. It's not reptile brain. David Dickey completely co-opted that term, because this is what reptile brain refers to and doesn't have anything to do with aliens.
Yeah. So we're aware of this, you know, we have movies which are describing and portraying this function. I believe the movie The Matrix is also about this phenomenon.
Yeah.
More perhaps about the sleep nature of the general humanity, the secondary psychopaths, who are just going along with it because it's easier than getting just murdered straight out by these people. There's a hidden violence in the background, always, in this entire phenomenon that we're discussing, just below the surface, dude. And I think what's interesting is to examine this analysis of social psychopathy, just to try and see, like, where is it at? Clearly something's changing, Ormond. Something is changing you said it was something was coming to the surface, the veil is dropping. Maybe we're actually beginning to look at this phenomenon within us at a social level.
That's the first thing that has to happen. And we have been under such relentless psywar. And I think that the reason for this relentlessness of this at this time is because they are, as exhibited by the European Union and the North American Union and G8's activities and all this promoting of this idea of globalism and new world order, that what they've had to do in this interim is they have to fold up all the previous world system to replace it with a new one. And this goes to this manifestation of this early in the game of Iraq, for example. Well, Iraq has to do with Islamic culture. It just doesn't fit their program. It can't be bought and brought in or seduced. They turned down porno theaters. They turned down Western movies and television. They just were So the idea is they have to go in and bulldoze the whole thing so that they can rebuild it from scratch.
Yeah.
And this is the line of thinking that's going on now. And I think that during this interim period, what they're doing is they're temporarily freeing the human mind as a side effect of shutting down the systems that they had imposed, and those constructs that they used for control that they completely co-opted were, say, belief, faith, things of that nature. They have collapsed, they've completely demolished faith and religion that people had. It's fallen and collapsed very quickly. And in the interim period, this has the side effect of people losing anything to believe in. The Republican thing is a perfect example of this. As long as they have that party belief to cling on to, as long as they give them enough to continue believing in it or continue their suspension of disbelief, but when these old systems are completely demolished, and they're doing that, they have to do it. They have to completely demolish it to rebuild the new order, starting with taking the children and indoctrinating them heavy and big time into the new system. And this is what they hope to achieve. This is what they're going for. So there is this interim period where they're by no means complete. They're right in the middle of this, and we're beginning to see a period of time when people are waking up to actually not being affiliated with anything. I mean, I've seen people lose their faith in their churches. This has happened dramatically in the last 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people now finally being dislodged politically, and they're not just going to bounce to another party this time. They're actually cracked out, and they're starting to make sense. This is a time when we'll notice that the people that we thought were completely incorrigible are actually going to, out of the blue, call us up and say, like, you know what? I think we're being fucked. I'm already getting this here.
Right.
Yeah. So it's an opportunity because this is a interim period of time when they've taken out the old belief system and they haven't replaced it with the new one yet. There's nobody alive buys into, you know, the manifestations of the real coming down of the economic realities of this new system, because they don't have anything to offer people this time. When they did the regime change and they gave us a break from Bush,
yeah,
and installed Clinton, they were able to give us that last bubble and pump up the economy temporarily.
Yes,
get everybody drunk, and they don't have anything left in their trick bag for that this time. They're not going to give us anything.
It is an interesting time. And of course, then there is the collective consciousness aspect of this, that what we're describing is how this theater of the mind is played out at a practical, pragmatic, political level in everyday events. But you also have this phenomenon going on in the collective consciousness. It's something Paul Levy has addressed, which is that Bush really is a manifestation of something that is within all and is being put up there now so that we can actually make some value judgments of that pathocratic nature. And it's part of our change vector.
Yes, they couldn't be doing what they're doing now 30 or 40 years ago if the public did exist at that time. People were still ethical enough. It depends on, they have spread the toxin and illness through society.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, at this point, matter so much that they did it. It's up to all of us to first wake up and see it. And recognize it again. We have been conditioned through all these this inundation of these violent theme movies, and you know, they even use psychopaths as actors.
Yeah,
you know, which helps to helps to put forward the idea of, like, oh, we're supposed to emulate this person. When you find out the person is a psychopath.
Lobachevsky is saying that just as you don't let pedophiles near kids because it's not a good idea. Society knows that, it makes sense. You don't let pathocrats near power because it's not a good idea. And he looks forward to an era when we get really aware of this phenomenon And we make sure we don't have the wrong kind of people in the wrong kind of places, or the right kind of places.
Being aware of them, being aware of just how sociopathic some people are, and even in the workplace, is essential. What we have is people are afraid to quit their jobs when the person next to them gets fired.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that, even though their turn is going to come, because the corporate system doesn't employ people long term. They keep rotating people so they don't get friendly. People have to become aware of, if they see it at the top level, if they see it, then begin to see it in their environment, notice it around them, which is what people don't want to do because it's terrifying at first to see how many people are affected by this, by these behaviors. And then, ultimately, to identify the behaviors in oneself, one has to see how, one has to own up to and face, you know, like I'm on my computer at night and I'm ranting against the government, and then I go to work and I play along with this. We have to quit playing along.
Yes.
We have to take a stand in the places where we live and work.
Well, I think that this is another aspect of this, is that it's not just a theoretical discussion we're having here. I would say to people who are tuned into this that, by definition, this drama is going to play out in your own environment. It's going to play out and is playing out in your social networks through which you move, as there is a shift in the collective consciousness. So you can watch out for this stuff and be aware of it. It's coming to get you. And also to be aware that there are mirrors in the mind. And so if we are victims or find ourselves within a pathocratic society, we have the scars, the mental scars of that exposure. And as a result, we have certain mirrored behavior patterns that are unconscious, we're not fully aware of, and we have to root those out. And we have to have the courage to engage in that self-examination as part of the social transformation process. So this is like personal as well as political, isn't it?
It is. Now it's down to personal, and this is where the actual battle is going to be fought. It's like every transaction that each of us makes with other people and what we witness, that we can't screen. The biggest problem has been screening out and having selective amnesia to seeing some sociopathic behavior close to you, and because it's in an acceptable social setting, you know, like a business, you know, to just sort of like lower your head. And I've seen this, and I've seen people lower their heads in offices like this is going on. And the thing is, you know, we can't afford to do that, because, and this is why they're taking so long with this lengthy process of taking over everybody's lives and moving it into this totalitarian system.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid of the power of people. If people just start, you know, acting by our intuition and our immediate responses, you know when something is wrong. You know when somebody's wrong. And you know when you're in a situation where something wrong is going on right next to you, and you have to have some guts.
Yeah.
It's really that simple. And if people do that, if people start rejecting these behaviors, even when it comes down to their livelihood, believe me, the way things are going, you know, they're telling us now that we're going to have stagflation. You know, we're looking at, they're not willing to admit this in the media yet. They're saying, oh, well, it won't be as bad as the 70s. You know, they said, but they're telling us about the 70s, and they're telling us about double-digit inflation and double-digit mortgage rates that nobody will be able to afford. And that's coming. That's coming real soon. And, you know, so I'm saying, you know, like, it gets down to the point of, like, you know, what have you got to lose by reasserting your humanity?
Well, the problem is we've got an economic system which is fundamentally screwed, because greed at the top is preventing us from being as productive as we could be. And so you just draw a straight line between the tin shack shanty slums of Rio de Janeiro and the upper reaches of the professional middle class in the United States. And basically, those two sets of people are going to meet somewhere in the middle. And somewhere in the middle is a lot lower than your current standard of living.
It's going to be a big shock.
You got it.
The thing is, you know, they don't. I haven't heard this very often, and I only read about this. Read up on fair trade as opposed to free trade fairly recently. And do you know that it turns out that in fair trade systems, there's always a surplus?
Yes.
There is always an abundant surplus of everything.
Right, right. But there's something else occurs to me as well, that this group is in many ways a collective, a core,
yes,
and a group whose identity is much closer to each other than it is to those of us who are developing as individuals. These are a collective mindset, quite undeveloped in many ways, and but very cunning, and that they do in many ways operate as a unit. That's why this thing plays out over so many years. That's why they've been slowly coming to get us, because these guys at heart are as calculating as a cat stalking prey. So it's not as if these people are dumb. We've got a challenge on our hands, dude.
Yes. In terms of how they operate, this is this is the correct interpretation on these things, is that being a carnivore or a sociopath or a psychopath or a pathopath is not something that you can really acquire in life. And I've been told this by people of the standing when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, and the way it was put to me is, you just don't have the killer instinct.
Killer instinct.
If you did, you'd be dangerous. But this is why they've always been particular about marrying their children to other pathocrats. Because they want that, they value that trait of ruthlessness.
Yes.
Everybody knows this. Well, I mean, like, we've always known that. And there have been times when my grandparents, who went through the Great Depression, described things to me that that you don't see documentaries about this anymore so much.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened during the Great Depression was there was 50% unemployment in the United States. The same was true through Europe, all through the world. It was a worldwide devastating depression. There was no money. There was no work. There was no way to make a living. And people were trapped in this economic system, and they completely collapsed it. And the phenomenon that happened during the 30s was that with nothing to lose, people started helping each other without any thought of return of favor or personal gain. And that, I think, is basic human survival instinct kicking in, because we're all born to grow up with empathy for each other, because we began as this sort of helpless little, this weak little species that in this world of carnivorous monster animals and so on. And this is what we rely on.
Yes,
so I think that part of this will kick in and help us, and that is what I'm waiting to see. We have to work in the meantime to keep talking to people and encouraging them. But what should happen is people stop ignoring watching these little sociopaths kicking people around in their field of view.
Yeah.
Whether they're wearing a suit or whatever, and just, say, look, we're not going to put up with this shit. We know what you are. We know what you're doing.
Yeah, and that was the purpose of your post in the first place, was that doing something about this current situation does not mean going out and fighting something out there in goddamn bush and trying to throw custard pies at him or whatever.
Bush was, now we see that Bush was, temporary. He was playing his role, and he's going to leave anyway.
Yeah.
The people don't have anything to do with that at all. We've got no handles on that process. This is a material process. I'm talking about, this gets into, we can't beat these people by playing their own game. We can't beat them on a material plane. What they want people to do, and I think that there's signs that they actually are going to try to encourage, when the middle class and the Republicans themselves are being disenfranchised, what they'll try to push them to do, or to think that they want to do, so that they can, pose situations that they come up with and put it on television to make it look like there's some kind of revolution going on. They want to poke sticks at these people, and they want them to react. They want them to lose it.
Yeah.
And generating this kind of energy is like thinking, like, well, I'll get it done, and I'll go out, you know. And of course, they're not going to do it. But all that they need is for people to generate that kind of negative thinking, because then they'll feel guilty about it. They'll think like, oh, well, I was thinking that way. So if I'm watching on television with a bunch of people in the suburb in, you know, in Schenectady, New York, went berserk and had to be killed by the ATF, well, then, you know, that must be true. And then, you know, I think that kind of scenario is possible. I'm not making any predictions here, but this is the kind of thing that we need to avoid. We need to rise above that kind of... We need to quit reacting. We need to calm down and just...
Yeah. And the most important thing, as you said there, is to rise above. And I think there is the perfect metaphor for the situation that we're in. The arrest of Kasparov in Russia recently for trying to organize protest over there against Putin brings it to mind, because he's a former chess champion. See, these people and this whole game that's going down right now is a standard chess game, black and white, single level. Where do you go beyond that? You go to three-dimensional chess. It's multiple level, and you're starting to analyze the game. You're not playing the game, you're analyzing the game. You're going beyond the level that it's at right now. So understanding what's going on is the number one thing. That is the kind of development that's taking place now in the human psyche. Is, if you like, the early initial stage is consciousness, I. Then there's I squared, which is self-consciousness, the human. And then there's I cubed, which is this new multidimensional, multi-aware, multi-level consciousness.
That's absolutely right. The first step before anything else is going to be effective is just simple awareness, just waking up to the situation the way it really is, including ourselves.
Yeah, including ourselves. And realize that there is a, as Lobachevsky says, almost a mechanical system that operates based on the psychological nature of human beings, most of whom like to live in denial, or need to live in denial to please their parents, their peers, their religious leaders, and their political leaders, and all they want to do is have some relaxation and enjoy the American dream. Because if ignorance is bliss, 'tis folly to be wise. Well, this is the time to be wise. Anyway, it's been a great examination.
And you don't know what you got till it's gone.
That's another one, too.
But we've got an opportunity here to catch it before it goes down, before they grab it all.
Well, you know, what I feel in relation to that is that it ties into some of the analysis of the development of consciousness we saw in the Mayan analysis of Carl Kalaman, and we will get him back on the show again. And I feel that this volatile period where people's loyalties to old and existing certainties have suddenly gone all fluid indicates we're moving into a fluid period, and we could actually see some really positive stuff come out of this, but not without a bit of volcanic activity, shall we say.
And fluid, that is the word, because we've been locked in amber by these systems, and it's that ties in, that expresses what I think about that we have been locked into belief in politics, political systems, locked into belief in the United States. Well, now what do we think of that? You know, they're folding it up. This is you know, so where do people don't have a leg to stand on in terms of belief and the old faith and all this. And this is actually, at first, it seems horrible. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Everything we knew was wrong. The world that we believed in never existed. But then it becomes a complete liberation, where you realize, oh, well, we didn't need religion. We're actually spiritual beings to begin with. We're born knowing right and wrong. This is our chance. I don't think the human race has had a chance to throw off hypocrisy in quite a long time. So you can look at it as a great opportunity. So we've got to do it this time.
Thanks for bringing up both topics, the issue of the North American Union and then the deeper psychology of the individuals who stand to gain most if they succeed in those plans. And thanks for joining us, Armand, on The Next Level today.
Yes, well, thank you, Tim. Always a pleasure.
That was a great discussion, and thanks again to Ormond for joining us. And as Ormond was saying there, we've got to stop reacting emotionally to what's going on and begin to concentrate on understanding the processes and the mechanisms and educating both ourselves and then others to what's going on. instead of just having knee-jerk political level reactions to what's happening. We are, I suppose, moving beyond politics in this, and that will have political repercussions in the end, but we are unlikely to be able to do very much about what's going on if we're simply reacting in a knee-jerk political way to what we see around us, because hey, these guys have already factored that in and they'll just simply play us back and forward like a ping pong ball. I hope that we will get a good discussion on these topics going in the forum, and I'd encourage people who are members to join in, please, and let's develop and extend our understanding of what's been going on with the psychology of psychopaths. Okay, it is great to be back on air. We do have some more great guests lined up for you. I'll be back very shortly with some of them, and I do hope that you can take the time to join me for that. But in the meantime, for breakfornews.com, this has been Fintan Dunn reporting.
You always keep me warm, hold me safe and away from home. Keep day for night, and as the day fades, burn a candle bright for me. Will you always keep me warm, hold me safe and away from home. Keep day for night, and as the day fades, burn a candle bright for me. Walking into the sun, walking into the sun. Walking into the sun.